You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We're going to recap the Lakers and Spurs game since we did not do that today, thanks to a busy schedule last week. And then we're going to preview the rest of the week and talk about some bigger storylines around the league and team. I'm Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News and your host today. And with me is the co-host of the Locked On Pacers podcast, Adam Friedman. Adam, what's up, man?
Can you believe so the Pacers have won four times this year without scoring 100 points and done it twice against the Spurs. Isn't that just kind of crazy?
That is crazy.
The
first one, they hadn't even figured out the team yet.
No, and the Spurs also have made 17 of 62 threes against the Pacers. Also, another.
That's bad. Wow.
I don't know what it is. Something about the Spurs just don't.
That's funny.
Pacers defense, I didn't know it was that good. I mean, obviously, they played out Kawhi both times, but they just couldn't hit their 3-point shot. And it's been twice.
Bertans went 1 of 8, and he's money. That was shocking.
Yeah, and they were like open most of the time. So I don't know what the Pacers are doing to the Spurs, but somehow they might be the only team in the league to figure out how to counter pop.
Well, we'll get to the Spurs second, but we never really reviewed the Lakers because we did game previews. And if you notice, they actually ran the plays that Coran just laid out for you on the podcast, but KCP did not play. So instead of the plays being for KCP, they were for Jordan Clarkson. And wouldn't you know it, Jordan Clarkson had an unreal game.
Yeah. You were asking before the show, why was Corey Joseph at minus 21? I said, well, because he was on the floor every time Jordan Clarkson was on the floor. Clarkson literally carried their bench guys to these like ridiculous plus minuses. So the entire bench, Larry Nance plus 22, Caruso was plus 25, Clarkson was plus 25. I mean, like these guys had like 5 and 10 points apiece, but because Clarkson had 33, he literally just rose the entire bench up. And it's really the only reason they won.
Yeah, I only was able to watch half of this game, and I didn't see any portions where Clarkson was completely dominating. So, you know, I saw he had 33 on Saturday. I was like, whoa, what happened here? But, yeah, it was really odd. You know, like Brook Lopez played and didn't start too. No KCP, no Lonzo. But the Lakers still looked really great on defense without Lonzo, one of their defensive anchors. And, you know, Kuzma did an okay job on D, even though his shot wasn't falling. And Corey Brewer's a pretty good defender. He did a nice game. So, the Lakers went, you've probably heard, 2 of 14 from the free throw line, and it was the reason that this game was even close because their defense was so good. The Pacers were only able to score 86 in the whole game.
Yeah, and it was second out of back-to-back, so it was expected they were going to be a little tired, but also the bench kind of laid an egg for the Pacers. I mean, the Pacers obviously went 2 for 25 from three, which was just miserable, another miserable three-point shooting game, I think the third one in their past 8 games, but the bench really was poor. They had only scored 14 points in the second quarter, and a lot of that was because you couldn't get anything going with any of the guys
worst,
at the bench.
Worst Lance game of the season.
Oh, by far. Joe Young played 10 minutes and literally he wasn't even on the floor. The bench was just terrible, and they kind of clawed their way back into it at some point, but then how many times are they going to lose on – I forget what other game this was, but where the guy like banks in a 3-point shot that shouldn't go in. It happened earlier this year in a game. I think that they were down 3 and they got a stop. They thought they did. And some guy banked in to get like a 3 to go up 6. Well, Clarkson did the same thing. So this was like, I guess if you looked at the schedule, it was an expected loss. It was the second half of a back-to-back, but also a game they could have won. Lakers are not that good. They just – really nobody besides Clarkson had that great of a game for the Lakers. So it wasn't very good for them, I don't think.
Yeah, I was shocked because before the season, I thought they wouldn't be good on defense, and they have been. So I was excited to watch some of their defense, and they actually are pretty solid defensively. They have a lot of guys who can really move around and stay in front of you. But the fact they scored 99 and missed 12 other 14 free throws shows that their offense actually played pretty well in this one. And, you know, Depot took 26 shots. Like, that's how much everyone was struggling. He just had to keep chucking. So, yeah, it was a really weird game.
Collison couldn't buy a bucket all game.
Oh, my goodness.
He played pretty well the previous game. I think he had like 20 plus against the Blazers, but he could not buy a bucket all game. And that was really, you kind of saw it too, because they started double teaming Depot sometimes towards the end of the game too when it got close. And Depot did have a couple of nice plays though. I mean, he made a couple of highlight moments at least, but for most of this game, it just looked like the Blazers were dead. Like the back to back killed them. The fourth game on a West Coast swing, it just looked like they were just tired and ready to go home.
Yeah, and so, well, the bright spot to say is Sabonis, you know, going against a shorter center in Julius Randle, he held Randle to only four rebounds, and he himself had 14. So that was really nice, but they didn't do a whole lot with those. So it doesn't really matter.
I was honestly surprised. After this game, I thought, oh, they're for sure going to go into San Antonio and get their butts kicked because they just look like they're dead. But
they just went 2 of 25 from three. They're going to go into San Antonio, and they shot 20% from three in San Antonio, and they won. I couldn't believe it.
I just thought they were just ready to go home. I just thought they were like they won the first game from the West Coast. And I thought that was good enough, you know, for a young team like this, just getting a couple West Coast wins. You said it, I think, on one podcast where you said they go on anything above one win is a positive. So, like, they got two, and they're like, all right, we got two. We're fine. We'll go home. We'll be, I think, whatever it is, above 500 still. And we have an easy schedule for the next couple weeks or so. But I was surprised they pulled one out in San Antonio, to be honest. But I'm glad they at least rebounded pretty well. They sort of regrouped and played kind of the way I want them to play normally anyways, too. At least against the Spurs, they did.
Yeah, huge game from the free throw line. Sabonis missed the only free throw, 16 to 17. That was what really helped them a lot. They don't even get 17 free throws that often. So that was, you know, that was really nice. And then they played really nice perimeter. Well, a combination of good perimeter defense and the Spurs missing their threes. The Spurs were 9 of 34. Davis Bertans missed 7. He's a good shooter. I know I already talked about that. But, you know, a combination of a lot of things going the Pacers' way just made it possible for them to somehow stop the Spurs machine for the second time this year.
I think a lot of it, though, they just caught the Spurs on an off night. I agree. It seemed like the Spurs just couldn't make their three-point shot. I don't know what it was. It just, every time they shot a three, it didn't go in. I think they caught them on an off night, and they played kind of the way I like the Pacers to play. They were very evenly distributed scoring-wise. They didn't rely on Depot too much. He only took 14 shots, and they sort of let everybody kind of get theirs at times. I mean, Bogdanović had another bad game, but overall, I'm sorry, I was just addicted to Bogdanović because of your love for him, and he just continued to struggle.
He's been terrible recently.
But it was kind of like, we're going to find the open shot. We're going to let the open man shoot. They're not going to force anything to Vic to get to the rim or anything like that. They do a lot of times. So it was fine. I like the way Joseph played too towards the end. He had a really clutch three that sort of helped extend the lead from, like, I think 5-8 at one point. And that was big, but overall, this is kind of how you want the Pacers to play, right? We don't want Depot to be running to the ground shooting 26 times like he did against the Lakers.
He went to 14 and a win. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's what you want. He did that too against another team this week.
That would be the Suns game, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Suns game. Yeah. So he's done it a few times this year, but it's actually when the Pacers look their best is actually when they're not just relying on him to score. It's kind of when they're sort of just constantly running and finding the open guy. And because most of the time Depot then gets an open three because the teams kind of forget that he's out there. You know, they sort of lose him in the pace of everything. So this is the way I like to see them play. They still play their starters a ton of minutes. I mean, Depot played 36 and Young played 39, but I mean, at least they're not playing 40, I guess.
Yeah, well, they had to play that much to win, which stinks. But with the Spurs, that's what it is. And I'm just
glad 2 days off.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they were able to hold on and win. Yeah, and they do have 2 days off. They have no They didn't practice today or yesterday they didn't practice Monday. Sorry, I need to clarify. Those of you listening, they deserve that after the West Coast trip too.
Yeah, and you know, I thought Al Jefferson played, he was a +2 on the court. I thought he held his own this whole West Coast swing.
This is another one of those games where I think he can play against a guy like Pau Gasol who can't defend really, you know. And the Blazers is another kind of game I feel like he could. The Lakers is not. So the fact he was okay against the Lakers surprised me, but the Blazers and Spurs are two teams that have post guys that are deep post guys, and those are the guys that Jefferson can actually stay on the court against.
So I just thought about this. The amount of old centers that are like the old school centers that just linger around this league as backup centers, it's kind of amazing to think about it. Like you got Pau, you got, I guess, in Phoenix, Chandler Starks sort of. But he's sort of lingering around still. And then I'm trying to think who else. Somebody in Cleveland. Who am I blanking on? Well, I guess Cleveland don't really have a center, but they have Tristan, but there are a lot of these old center guys that are kind of lingering around in this league that are just kind of there that at least Jefferson has a shot against. And then when he doesn't play one of those centers, he plays sometimes these really young backup centers who he has a shot against because he can kind of use some of his old man skills to beat him. So he's doing fine. You know, he's been treading water at least and not costing the Pacers games. Let's say that.
Yeah, his career high shooting percentage is helping. And in the Spurs game, what helped too is he had 7 rebounds, which he actually is okay on the glass just in general, but 7, I think, is close to a season high, you know, just because the ball has to bounce to his general side of the court for him to get it, given his speed. So that was really nice.
Against Utah.
Huh?
Yeah, 10 against,
oh, he
10
did?
Against Utah. Yeah.
But, oh, that's right. I knew that. That was last week, too. But, yeah, he's a good rebounder. It's just he can't move that much. So, 7 against the Spurs, I was happy with. And even if it was one of his worst shooting games, he was able to be effective. And they're starting to learn that they can run actions through him by, you know, he can have his back to the basket but still be a creator by doing dribble handoffs deep in the post or, you know, kicking it out and things like that. And they're finally using those more effectively, too.
Yeah, and he also is – one, really good at not getting called for fouls, which has helped because they don't really have any guy passing. Like Sabonis, sometimes it gets into foul trouble so quickly, and then they don't really have a backup. They don't have a backup to Jefferson, so at least he's not like just drawing unneeded fouls. And he does a pretty good of not turning over the ball as well. You know, he only has like one turnover game. He had 3 over the whole West Coast swing. So I've just been fine with him treading water, especially since we think Turner's going to be out for a while, or at least you do. I don't really know. You gotta practice. You'll find out, right?
Fairly confident he'll be out for a while. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna ask about that tomorrow. I think that's gonna be a hot topic.
So we'll get some more information on that tomorrow. But he's gonna be playing for the next 10 or 15 games, it seems like. So at least he's been competent. I'm just worried, you know, when you're playing him even just 15 minutes a game, 20 game, he's old. I don't know how long his body can hold up, but hopefully he can hold up a little longer. If not, they're gonna make a move for the deadline for a backup center, probably.
Yikes, that would be awful if they had to do that.
Yeah, I don't even – maybe they could give the other protections of the second-round pick they have with Brooklyn to kind of get a deal. That might be the only move, right?
Yeah.
But overall, I'm fine. They went 3-2 in the West Coast swing. That's good. Positive.
That is very good.
And they got a good schedule coming up.
They have two, I was going to say 2 of their next 3 games are pretty easy too, so that's great news.
Well, we say that now, but who actually knows?
right. So I'm going to throw a wrinkle at you, actually, because I forgot about something that we should totally have talked about and we didn't prep for at all.
Go ahead.
Edmund Sumner debut on Friday.
I did not watch it. I'm not going to lie here. Did not watch it.
Okay. Well, I'll take care of this one a little bit. Edmund Sumner, they picked him 52nd in the draft in a pick that they bought for cash from the Pelicans. And at one point he was like lottery projected by Draft Express. And then he got a really bad knee injury. So he fell super far in the draft. It's a story for a lot of guys that fall like that. He made his debut with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants last Friday. They had him on a minutes restriction. He only played, I think, a little over 11 minutes in that game. But he finished with 9 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 rebounds. He looked really spry. He had a nice dunk. He missed both of his threes, which who knows if he's going to become a good professional shooter. But, you know, his athleticism was showing, and it was his first game. So good to see him back. Keep an eye on him. You know, he's on a 2-way contract the rest of this season, so maybe he'll get to play with the pros a little bit, and he's on a 2-way next year as well. So just be on the lookout for Edmund Sumner a little bit.
So did he have his explosiveness back?
Well, you know, as much as you expect, he had as much as I would have expected him to have after an injury like that, if that makes sense.
Okay. That's what I was wondering, because that's sort of what you look for in a guy who has that kind of injury. Is he still have the ability to get off the ground the way he did before he got hurt? So if he looks like he has that, that's a good sign at least.
Yeah, that was his thing at Xavier before he got hurt, too. So, yeah, it's exciting at least that maybe there's a guy in him that could be something. And this is way too forward thinking and not a slight against Joe Young. It's just the situation it is. Like given that he is a two-way, say he plays really well the rest of the year and proves he can, you know, hang in the NBA a little bit on his two-way. They already have him on a two-way next year. So why do you keep Joe Young if you can get this cheaper guy? You know, things like that really matter. So
I think Joe Young's returning, though.
I do too. Oh, I totally do too.
He's so cheap, and they're gonna need a backup point because they're gonna lose either Collison or Joseph. So I think
And Young's been good. So I that's why I said I don't want to take this away from Young because he's been playing really well this year. It's just like it's a thing to monitor.
Yeah, I guess a thing to monitor. But even with that kind of injury, I don't think he's probably still a year away from actually getting back to like full strength. Right? He's probably still another year away from actually.
That's why they got him on the two-year two-way. I always mess that up. Yeah.
Because it's kind of an alliteration.
Yeah. So a general NBA thing, a team that the Pacers have split their season series with so far and do not play again for another month, the Milwaukee Bucks have fired Jason Kidd, who is far and away the worst coach in the NBA. They have a top 3 player and they're 23-22. That only matters because now the Bucks are going to be better the rest of the season and the Pacers are only one game ahead of them in the standings.
So do we know who's taking over for the Bucks? Who is named the interim head coach?
It was an assistant, and I can't remember his name. I'm going to have to look it up while we're talking.
Well, I'll say something, though. So you were talking about this before the show when we were doing our prep, and you said now the Kid is fired, McMillan might be one of the worst coaches left in the Eastern Conference. And I sort of paused and said, you know, he's actually been pretty decent this year.
Yes.
So you got to turn off that volume. But if you watch his out of timeout plays, He's been really effective. There's a nice article in the SI crossover basketball, whatever it is. I think the name is crossover, where they kind of point out some of the plays McMillan runs, and the Pacers actually run some pretty effective out of timeout plays, out of bounds plays. And their offense, just if you watch it, is actually they run a lot of good action, the good thing to set up players in the right strengths. They've kind of figured out, I think it helps McMillan this year that he has like the players that I think fit that he wanted to, and he's had a kind of 2 years on him to kind of build a system, because we never thought McMillan could play fast like he is now, but he clearly is really smart, because he was a pretty good NBA coach in his previous stints with the Sonics and Bucks. I mean, he had teams winning 50 plus games. Yes, he had really good players, but he was going to get him to win 50 games. So I think, you know, I don't think he's that bad of a coach. I think they're not going to get rid of him anytime soon.
I think
Kidd was terrible. I think McMillan is, he's not top five. Like, he's not going to break the Stevenson, Kerr, Popovich, even Drew Casey this year, kind of top, but he is not like in the bottom five, in my opinion.
Maybe not in the league, maybe in the East. He's really good at adapting to who's on the court. I will give him credit for that. You know, he's got a lot of situational skills, and that's why his rotations actually work out pretty well, regardless of who's on the floor. But, you know, there's a lot of good coaches in the East, so that's just how it is. The guy stepping in will be assistant coach Joe Prunty for the Bucks.
So I got a question for you, actually.
Okay.
How much? So we talk about it in like the NFL and baseball, how important baseball, you say a manager maybe adds five wins to a team. In the NFL, the coach is most important, probably adds between 8 to 10 wins if a team's really good. How many wins do an NBA coach actually adds to a team? Like, you know, if you already have LeBron, like the Cavs got to prove when you have LeBron, you're going to win 40, 50 games. Like, how much does a really good coach add to stuff?
Well, you got to look at Pop, and like some of the teams he led to 50 wins weren't 50 win teams. And then like Stevens right now is totally adding wins to the Celtics, but I don't know how much it is for like not the best guys.
Yeah,
it's
going to say you take out the top like three or four. You know, like I think they're just kind of a very middle class of NBA coaches. And I think it's also why you don't see a lot of turnover in NBA coaches, because just like they're all kind of, you know, you want first one to get guys time, and then it's also kind of the same. I mean, if you don't have one of the top ones, you just kind of have an NBA coach. That's,
well, if you ask me before the Kidd firing today, like put every coach in the tier of good, okay, bad, Jason Kidd would have been my only bad coach, I bet.
Yeah, so that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, so I agree with you in that sentiment that like it's just like scheme changes and like stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's just about how well your coach can adapt to his players and also the players he has. Because a lot of times, you know, there's sometimes can be good coaches with really bad teams. Like, I don't think Vogel's a terrible coach, but he has a horrendous roster. So he just can't be good. I mean, you know, you put Vogel with a good roster he had 5 years ago with the Pacers, and he was able to guide the team to 55 wins, I think. So it's just sort of depend. A lot of his roster and a lot of it's just being able to kind of mold, but a lot of coaches all have kind of that similarity. I think a lot of coaches can lead teams to 55 wins. I think there's kind of a level that you have to reach to be a best coach, and there aren't many of those out there.
Right. Yeah, but I just think they'll get better by not having a bad coach anymore.
Oh, I agree with the Bucks. They'll get better because they have, I would say, one of the few teams in the East I think can actually challenge LeBron talent-wise. I mean, they've got a top three player. They've got the Jabari back. They've got length. They've got, you know, they've got all this stuff, and they've got a really good point guard in Bledsoe, but they just don't do anything. They just are so poorly coached that it like drags them down. So hopefully the new coach, they'll be able to at least like, maybe they got a coach that's in that, you know, mediocre tier.
We'll see them in a month. They play again. March 2nd is the next time those two teams play. And we'll definitely have to have on a Bucks guy now, because, you know, normally we only do that for their first matchup, but they're going to be a way different team than they have been in the prior meetings. You want to move on to the week preview? You got anything else?
Nope, let's move on.
Okay, so they have three. Oh, wait. Actually, we should say a quick break for some sponsors. Okay, we are back. They are three games this week, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, right? Did I get that right? Yes. And they are home for the Phoenix Suns, who they just played. If you want to listen to a preview for them, go listen to a week Sunday ago with Gerald Bourguet. Then they are in Cleveland Friday to close out the season series, which they already won with the Cavaliers, who are completely falling apart right now. They've lost five of their last six games and gotten killed, and many of them gave a 148 to the Thunder. And they are home Sunday against the Orlando Magic. Let's go in order. Let's start with the Suns. The Suns are fourth in pace, 26th in offense, 29th in defense. They just played. The Pacers killed them on the road. I have very high expectations for a win in this game.
Yeah, I don't think anything's changed in a week and a half. They don't have any injuries. neither team has any different players they had last time, and the Suns got blown out at home. So now Suns have to come all the way across the coast, or semi across the coast, I guess, to Indiana, which is a pain in the ass and throws them off by 3 hours. So I don't see how anything changes. I think they should easily take this team, except TJ Warren will play this time probably for the Suns. He didn't play last time, but I don't think he makes like
23 points.
No, not 23-point difference.
Yeah, you know, in that first game, like, every starter was clicking. Like, Bojan even had an okay game in that one for once.
He did.
Yeah, he 40% from three at 14 points.
Yeah, no, that's fine. He had a game he should have.
A rare good game for him in his recent run. Every starter outside of Sabonis, who had 14 rebounds, had double-digit points. Corey Joseph had 10. Al had 10. Joe Young had 10. Lance and TJ had 9. Like, everyone was doing their role perfectly. That was like peak Pacers in that game.
Yeah, that's what we talked about the Spurs a little bit. This is like an evenly distributed game where guys, they just rode whoever was shooting well. They didn't worry about setting a specific guy up at a specific moment. They just kept pushing the pace, and they did a really good job guarding Devin Booker, I thought. Maybe he probably won't shoot 1 of 6 from three again, so they might have to worry about that. But again, if he shoots even 3 of 6, they're still lose by 17 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a good job on Bender. He was 0 for 6 from three. And but something there is to monitor is they have rumblings of a starting lineup change for their game last night. So you'll already have known what it is. My guess is that Isaiah Kanan's going to start at point guard. I don't know if that's going to change anything. They both, Tyler Ulis and him, are both bad. But just there will be a different-ish Suns team, I guess.
I mean, the Suns are just not a good team. They're super young. That also doesn't help. And their goal right now should be to go get Trae Young. That should be their goal, because you pair Trae Young with Booker and Jackson, and maybe you have something for the future.
Yeah, that, I agree. Their plan should be a good pick. They should start shutting people down. They only played Greg Monroe 3 minutes, so apparently they're already trying that.
Yeah, that was odd, I found. The fact that, because the Pacers played Jefferson, so I thought we would see more of Monroe, but we didn't. So that just seemed odd to me, but I think Monroe, man, what a fall from a guy who passed up a 5-year max to get 3 years to get back into free agency this summer, and now will probably not even – Might put on the bottom of the roster next year, right? If that.
Yeah, well, he's the best center on the Suns team. They just want to lose, so they don't play
him. He also just doesn't fit the NBA anymore.
He was good. He was okay last year, but he can't guard anybody.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's below 7 feet, so he's not like has some super height, you know, advantage, and he's just kind of a non-shooting three center, which is not really where the NBA is, and nobody wants to sign those guys to big deals. I'm saying 3 years ago, he got a max deal. He's not going to get close to – nobody's going to offer him more than whatever the veteran minimum is probably.
Hey, I will take him as an Al Jefferson replacement for that.
I would say that. He would be a good replacement for Jefferson. I was going to say that because he would be fine coming off the bench.
Yes.
For cheap.
So the headlines on NBA.com, right? Pacers have balanced attack and defeat of Suns. Guess what the Suns headline is?
Suns trying to stink for something.
Tyson Chandler, 40th player with 10,000 rebounds.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. Chandler, I used to love back in his prime with the, well, I guess I don't know if it's the Mavs his prime. I guess it was his prime.
Yeah, it was.
It felt like old Chandler, but I guess it was prime Chandler. He was fun to watch. He was one of the guys who could really took LeBron. LeBron kind of tried to, I swim down there. He took him.
Reason they could beat that Heat team. I think it's funny that their headline is a guy being the 40th player to do something. But 10,000 rebounds is very impressive.
Yeah, that's impressive. There's been a lot of NBA centers, so let's calm down. I'm making fun of him.
I'm not making fun of him. I'm making fun of the headline.
Who do you have for your butcher if there's going to be one?
Ugh, I mean, Booker getting hot is the only way the Suns have a chance of being better. I mean, Warren playing will be big too, but.
Yeah, I wrote down Warren as my butcher.
The fantasy god for you, right?
Yeah, he's been so good in fantasy for me. He's like the ninth highest fantasy guy in my league right now. It's ridiculous. He's probably just good stats, bad team guy, but that's the best player to have in fantasy basketball. So he's probably picked up in your league if you don't pick him up yet.
Just picture the switch though. It's like, okay, now you put in Warren for Jackson, you have offense, and your defense gets worse. And they already scored 120. So
yeah, and they scored 120. It seemed almost seamlessly. Like they kind of pulled up at the last quarter, so they could have easily hit 140. I mean, they put up. What, 96 points in the first three quarters? So they were on pace. You know, they could have been on pace for 130 probably if they wanted to.
Yeah, they had 24 in the fourth, and they had 30 or more in every other quarter.
So, yeah, they pulled up. Who's your Pacers X factor?
Anyone. more specifically, I'll go Darren Collison. He had a good game, 8 of 14 shooting. He was plus 25 team high. And when you're guarded by who might be Isaiah Kanan, you know, the Suns don't really have an answer to stop him. So I think he'll be fine running the offense. And as long as he doesn't just completely stink, they're going to win.
So before this show, I was prepping and I wrote down Domas Max Factor, and I honestly can't remember why. I'd make sure I had different players for each game, and I was like, he must have been the one I had for another game and switched him, but he had 14 rebounds the first time. So, I mean, he's going to be kind of important in trying to box out Chandler and win that matchup. He should. I know Chandler's, I guess, a bigger guy than him, but Domas should win that. But he also didn't shoot a lot last game, which was just kind of odd. They didn't really set him up that much, but he seemed like he will probably be important just because he has to get 14 rebounds again like last time. He had 4 offensive rebounds. That was huge.
Yes, he did. That's big for him. I have something to monitor, though. They only had 6 turnovers, a season low in the first game. So if they take care of the ball like that again, there's no chance they lose.
That's probably why the game seems so seamless at times, too, because they just constantly were moving and there was no like constant stoppage for dumb turnover. And the Suns missed a ton of shots, so that helped the game just kind of keep flowing in that pace of direction.
Yeah, and when we get to scores, I'm sure we both have quite a hefty Pacers win. But even if they get a few more turnovers, and you know, I still think they're going to win pretty convincingly.
Yeah, this should be – they return home from a 5-game road stand. This should be kind of a big game just like for the players. They like to finally been home for a couple of days. It's just – they're really good at home too. The Pacers are really good at home. So,
and the Suns are on – this will be the Suns' 4th game of their road trip. So maybe their last game of their road trip. So they'll be on the looking home end of their road trip too.
Yep, they'll all be wishing for the sun in Phoenix and wishing to get out of the freezing cold of Indianapolis or the East Coast.
Yeah. Hey, no snow in Indy now. It rained it all the way today. I'm excited.
I'm just saying, Phoenix is probably 75 in Phoenix right now, and it's like 40 in Indy, I'm assuming.
We'll do scores at the end again, but yeah, that's I don't have a lot for that one. I don't think it's even going to be particularly fun to watch.
Yeah, I would agree, but I'm going to watch it because I like watching
games. I am. I'll be at that one, so that'll be good.
Are we credentialed yet?
No, I plan on doing that for the Magic for the first time.
Okay, right, because you're not like a Cavs. Well, no, they play on the road against the Cavs, right? No, they play.
Cavs are on the road. Yeah,
because they play the Cavs twice at home.
Yeah. So the Suns, that is done. Let's move on to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have lost, 5 of their last 6, and their only win was a 1-point win over the Orlando Magic at home. The Cavs are very much struggling. Kevin Love apparently is sick and might not play this week. Iman Shumpert is still hurt. Isaiah Thomas is playing bad defense. They just gave up 148 to the Thunder at home. What's going on in Cleveland?
I have them losing 4 of the last 5 or winning 4 of the last 15 games. That makes them 4-11.
Yeah, that's right. That is correct.
That's bad. And they're probably going to be 4-12 if they play San Antonio. I think they play San Antonio Tuesday, which would be today if you're listening to this podcast.
Wow.
Sorry, we're recording this on Monday. We've put that twice now. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I said it last time when they beat them that, you know, the fall of these teams that consistently when they fall when you least expect it. And I don't know if we're maybe finally seeing that. I don't want to say it yet because LeBron James can carry a team wherever he wants to, probably except to a title, but to an NBA finals easily. But Isaiah's been really bad. I mean, I'm looking at his plus minus for the past like 4 games, -20, -9, -1, -24. And he could not guard anybody on Oklahoma City. They were just every time they were either trying to get Carmelo onto Isaiah or Russ just back him down. I mean, it was kind of just this like sad Russ, to watch.
Russ looked like Mark Jackson backing him down.
It was kind of sad to watch because like I know Isaiah's not a good defender, but he also just doesn't have the same explosiveness yet. Maybe he'll get it, but they're looking after. I mean, the Cavs are looking forward or looking to trying to get what Lou Williams or George Hill, which means they don't trust Isaiah. You could probably play George Hill at the 2 a little bit, I guess. But clearly, they don't trust Isaiah right now, and that trade just looks worse and worse every. Especially as that Brooklyn pick keeps climbing in the draft.
Yeah,
they got rid of. I mean, they did not have to get rid of Kyrie. Everybody says they did. They didn't. They had Kyrie for 2 more years. They could have just made him come back and play. What is he going to do? Not play at basketball? Fine, let him not play basketball. But I don't know. This team. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm sure by March they'll have an answer somehow because they have LeBron and they'll make a trade and they'll figure it out.
Yeah, Derrick Rose is back too. Don't forget Derrick Rose is back. He's actually a +4 total in the 2 games since he's returned.
Yeah, and they also just played this team so recently too, so it's kind of like the same thing as the Suns. They played them last week, it feels like.
Yeah, they did play the Cavs 2 weeks ago. Yeah, right. 2 weeks almost. Yeah. Well, yeah, but Isaiah Thomas, just for some splits and some perspective, his defensive box plus minus is -6.4, which is unbelievably bad. His defensive rating is 118. He's shooting 29% from 3, so under 40% from the field overall. His free throw percentage is a career low. His assists are a career low. I mean, nothing is going right for him.
Yeah, it's so sad just because we were talking before the show about you were trying to rank Isaiah on our point guard list, and I was like, well, it's not hard right now. It's just hard right now. Yeah. And it's really sad because this guy is also in the last year of a kind of relatively cheap contract, and I was kind of hoping he would, you know, if he was a free agent last offseason, he would have got like $30 million. I mean, I know a lot of teams didn't have the money, but he would have got re-signed to a $30 million deal, and he might not even get close to 15 at this point if he keeps up with this, but maybe he'll get back. I mean, you know, he still scores 16 points a game, so he's not like super ineffective, but his defense is so bad that I'm not sure if he's going to positive on the court when he's out there.
I know. They need help on point guard defense so bad. That's why they want George Hill. But, yeah, this will be so weird because, you know, I can see this going like the Cavs just are reeling and the Pacers have already beat him three times and they just beat him again. But I can also see LeBron being like, I'm not getting swept by the Pacers and just taking over this game. So
can you imagine that, though? The Pacers sweep the Spurs and the Cavs in the same season.
Unreal. That would be sick. That'd be amazing.
Bring on the Cavs in the playoffs. That's all I had to say. No, but that'd be crazy. I mean, who would think that? I mean, we're talking about like how the Pacers are beating expectations. If you sweep the Spurs and Cavs in one season, that like is just mind boggling and just kind of like, wow, where this team was in June versus where they are now is amazing. It's just beyond, like, it's just, they're so far ahead of what we thought.
So far ahead. And the Cavs are behind too, but you know, who cares? You beat LeBron four times in a year. That's amazing.
Yeah, I would love that because, I mean, as much as I respect LeBron, I don't have to like LeBron, let's put it that way. I mean, you don't like the king in sports. You just don't, and I don't like LeBron for that reason.
Something to watch out for. Apparently, there's rumblings in Cleveland about another starting lineup change, maybe moving Tristan back in and having Kevin play the four, which makes a lot of sense if you have Isaiah Thomas out there. So maybe that'll happen against the Pacers. Also, I don't know if we ever did this. The Cavs are 13th in pace, 5th in offense, 28th in defense. Horrible, Andy. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
What do you think about them not starting JR?
Yeah, it'd be fine. You say Jay Crowder at the two?
I was thinking maybe D Wade.
Oh, okay, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Jay Crowder. Sorry, JR would be good at the unit just the way he plays.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just looking at it. You're right. We could see D Wade starting. I don't know that they went that way to start the season and they went back to JR, but. I mean, D-Wade and LeBron, even if D-Wade is not as good as JR, their chemistry is just something that's you can't beat. I mean, you watch it against a little bit in Oklahoma City, that alley-oop he threw, which is just something that you get from playing with a guy for so many years and knowing guys' tendencies. So that's something to watch for. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we should watch for that.
Yeah, there are. I definitely think they're going to make a lineup change soon. So and yours makes a lot of sense, too. So it could literally be anything.
Yeah. Who do you got as the butcher? It's on LeBron.
LeBron butcher, right? Yeah. Kevin Love. Yeah, Kevin Love. He just is the guy. That's the type of player that the Pacers can't handle, is those stretchy bigs.
Yeah, he had 21 last time. I wrote down Isaiah Thomas just because he didn't play last time, and they barely pulled that game out last time. Like, it took everything breaking their way. They were getting just destroyed for a solid 15 minutes till they finally pulled it back. But I think, I mean, you know, if Isaiah is just like, half a step better than they started D-Rose last time.
D-Rose didn't play either. It was what's his name? Calderon.
That's right. I was trying to, Isaiah is a better scorer than Calderon. So that might be enough to swing the game back in Cleveland's favor. Cause remember, the Pacers only beat him by two.
This is going to be probably the hardest game of the season for me to predict the score.
It's probably gonna be close though. I mean, I think it'll be close.
They won without Turner twice. They won with Turner once and like no IT and no Rose and, it's just all been weird. Career game in that one.
Well, part of it is the players play up to Cleveland. Like Cleveland's the team with the bullseye on their back, and the Pacers, especially Depot, a little bit likes to play his best. I mean, he had what 29 and 20. No, I was against the Mavs. He had 26 last time against them, I think, or something close to that. And he had 20, 30 the time before. Like he likes to play up to the Cleveland kind of thing. And it's at home, or not? I was on the road, but he likes to play up to them still.
Yeah, and when you play LeBron, you want to, play up to LeBron.
So actually, Vic was my X factor for the game. That's what I was going to say. He really has been the X factor in both games. I mean, he hit both games. Well, the first time he hit the shot that kind of sealed it. Then last game, he almost blew it because he couldn't get a shot going at the end of the game. But he'll be the most important player on the stretch, at least in the last 2 minutes. He'll be the guy with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, in a game where we're talking about Kevin Love, also talk about Sabonis having potentially a good game. Kevin Love's a good rebounder and could stretch him out. So if Sabonis can keep up with him, he'll be huge. Other than that, it's going to be weird. You know, Thad Young's always a good pick because you saw how crucial he was the first time these two teams played when he led them to victory on his own. And then the bench too, with a guy like Wade, you could pick Corey Joseph's, you know, bench defense. There's a lot of options, but mine would be Thad.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to pull up the box score from last game, but that's not a bad one. He's going to have to guard LeBron too, right?
Yep, he did last time, a little bit at least, because they had Bojan on Jay Crowder.
Yeah, so, you know, he's I just don't trust him. I don't know why. He shot only 5 of 16 last time. I don't trust him getting enough points to actually make a difference is my only worry.
Yep, I get that.
But if his defense is going to be important, and they actually, I mean, I'm looking at shooting-wise, they were pretty bad last game, so I guess they couldn't play worse than last time, right? They played – they were like 40
points. They only scored 97, and they won.
I get that's one of the four games they won without scoring 100 points. But I guess they did shoot 10 of 21 from three, which is a lot better than they did in the Miami game and the game after that.
Oh, my God.
So maybe they could play worse. I spoke too soon, but
– I'll be happy they win the series no matter what happens in this game.
Yes, they won the series, and if they actually sweep them, it would be just a miracle.
A complete miracle, and I hope it happens, but we'll get to the scores for that one at the end. But we have one more game, but first let's take another ad break really quick. All right. We are back to talk about this game against the Magic, which have they played the Magic twice or just once?
Twice. They beat them the first time, 121-109. The next time, I think – I'm screwed out of my head. I had the first one top of my head. I don't have the other one, but they beat him.
I have the 121-109 box score in front of me.
Shoot. 105-97. That was the first time. Then the last time was 121-109.
Okay. Well, the Magic stink.
Yeah, you want me to read their stats? I have their stats up.
Yeah, go ahead.
So they are 17th in points per game, 28th in allowed points per game, and 7th in pace.
Wow. Hey, they're quick. They're pretty quick. They just can't score at all. They just beat the Celtics in Boston, which is cool.
Yeah, I better say that because I was trying to figure out. So they've like won 3 of their last 20 games, but they beat the Celtics, the Wolves, and the Pistons. So they beat decent teams.
That's random.
Just random wins.
They've been dealing with an injury to Jonathan Isaac. They are dealing with an injury to Terrence Ross. Nikola Vucevic is out for 6 weeks, so they just have no one anymore. And if Lalo had a suspension, he'll be back for the Pacers game. But they are out of guys who are good that they can even play. So it's they're just bad.
Yeah, I mean, their best player is probably on the market, small forward shooting guard, maybe the best forward available currently, Evan Fournier.
Yeah, Fournier or Aaron Gordon are their best two guys, and neither of those guys are world beaters at all. So I don't even know what to say because – I mean, like, they looked okay on offense the 2 times the Pacers played them. Not great, not bad, but they're bad on defense. And now their offensive players are hurt, and they can't score. They cannot beat anybody. And I think they're going to end up close to the first pick. They are just bad.
Well, they want, I guess, DeAndre Ayton. But
they want anything.
he's sick, though, but that's beside the point. No, the my big thing about this game is, so the last 2 times they played, Vic had 29 and 26, and it's sort of a revenge game. I mean, it always is when they play the Magic for Vic, because it's his former team. They traded him away for Serge Ibaka. They kind of like, you know, I mean, they traded him away before they were could have re-signed him, so it was kind of like a signal that, hey, we don't think you're going to be good to Vic, and he made them look stupid, that's for sure. But so that's kind of what he's done there, so I think that's what it really is. It's just kind of Vic just going to have a big game just because he likes to just kill the Magic to make them regret every minute they traded him.
So the game in Indiana, the second highest plus minus on the team was Sabonis at plus 10. Oladipo was plus 29. That's crazy. A 19-point difference is the biggest I've ever seen in best and second best. But, yeah, he loves playing the Magic, that's for sure. And Sabonis might too because, you know, they drafted him and then traded him right away. He had 19 points. That was his career or his season high the first time they played.
Yeah, say now he's had a 24, but yeah. I don't think Sabonis cares as much because he get drafted by a team and traded right away. It doesn't really count. Like, you don't really feel it. It's more like I think Depot really feels like a hatred for them because they traded him away like in his third season. He was the number 2 pick. He was supposed to be the next savior of the team, whatever this, whatever that. And they sort of like just discarded him for a guy they didn't trade away at the trade deadline. So
right,
I think it bothers him more. But another guy to watch though is your boy Bojan. He had 26 and 22 in the first 2 games. So really good games against both times. So maybe, you know,
they're a bad wing defensive team. That makes sense.
Yeah, and they're really bad at picking up players when the players start running too. I feel like I feel like Bojan had a bunch of open transition threes, it seemed like to me, in those games. And if he's hitting those, you know, we talked about it they seem like they're going to go down every time, but they don't go down. You know, they leave his hand, they're clean, they come down, and it looks like they're going to go right in the hoop, and they kind of rim out a lot. And it's really kind of frustrating to watch because you think they should go in. So maybe at some point they'll start falling, and this might be the perfect time.
This might be the perfect time, and the Magic are 26th in the league in opponent three-point percentage at 37.7%. So I agree that this could be a good time for that.
Yeah, so I want to get off the Magic just 1 second. So what's the Pacers are now, what, fifth in three-point percentage?
Yes.
After being first, right?
I'll check officially, but I believe fifth is the number I saw this morning.
Yeah, so that's just part of it is that at one point, Pacers were like the first team in three-point percentage. I think there's been a kind of a correction sort of the past couple weeks now, but this might be a good game to get back into the kind of the hot streak because I'm thinking that maybe the Pacers will go through kind of spurts where they go through like a 6 week period where they shoot really well from three and then a 6 week period where they don't. So maybe they get back in a 6 week period where they shoot really well from three. And I think now if they shot really well from three, they would just keep winning games because they're kind of figuring out their defense a little bit and they kind of have some at least some momentum on their side or some kind of a confidence at least in their game.
Yeah, I wrote about it when they were first at one point. I wrote about it. They're currently fifth at 37.4 in a tie with the Wizards. And the second place team is only 0.7% ahead of them. And they're 0.6 ahead of the team two behind them. So they're firmly in that top six range. There's a pretty big dearth between second and Golden State. And there's a pretty big gap between sixth and seventh. So,
and that's with going 2 of 25 and 3 against the Lakers and 1 of 18 against 18 against the Heat.
You're at 18.
Yeah, so that's with those two. So
yeah. And one of the teams ahead of them is the Kings, who are bound to fall. So
so back to the Magic. Who is your butcher in the Magic? Is there any – I mean, you kind of said it. I don't know. I'm trying to get – Magic are a boring team. The game's going to – they have kind of two boring games. Like, hopefully they win both, but we got to still preview it, right?
Oh, it's on a Sunday, too. This might be the hardest game for me to decide to watch all season. You know, what's kind of bugging me is like Biombo's not a terrible pick. He's actually played okay as a starter in Vucevic's stead, and he's a really good defender and he can rebound. So he could have a nice game. He had that 21 and something crazy, like 17 against the Wizards last week.
Yeah. Biombo's the one who killed the Pacers in the playoffs a couple years ago with the Raptors. So maybe there's some of that. I put Fournier down, but I don't know.
A good pick.
I think he had 22 against Celtics. So he was the best player that night.
Yeah,
you know, on the Magic.
The Magic have some buy low guys that maybe the Pacers could just like throw a second rounder at. I don't know.
I don't know. They seem to be tanking without their guys, currently. So why do they want to trade them? Like, you know, we say they want to tank, but like they're already losing every game with the guys they have. So
yeah, they're bad. They're really bad.
Yeah, I feel bad for Frank Vogel, to be honest. I really do.
He doesn't have. It's not his fault. This team sucks.
No, it's not his fault. And he got pushed out of this place for his assistant coach. And I understand it a little bit. Like, I understand the pace. Frank Vogel was meant to coach a team that doesn't run as fast and plays more traditional, kind of with a post presence. But he got pushed out of here for an assistant coach who now is kind of like probably going to get a vote for coach of the year. And Vogel's could probably get fired at the end of the year, my guess is.
I would guess that too.
So it's sad for him. He was a good guy. So I feel bad for him.
Yeah, I don't know what the plan is for the Magic. A new front office, though, I think Vogel's gone, which is sad. But we'll see what happens.
And it's hard for guys in the league to get head coaching jobs again. You know, he might never coach an NBA game again.
Poor guy. But yeah, I mean, if they even kind of hit the glass and shoot okay, they'll win. I mean, then no one on this Magic team can really beat you with points.
Yeah, and so for my expert, though, I had Bojan, just so you know. I wanted to tell you that so that you would be happy, just because he had two really good games against him last time. But I think anybody could score 20 points against this team. It seemed like the way it's been. Not like any of the Pacers. I mean, any one of those guys could get three or four open threes and hit him.
Yeah, that's Bojan would have been my pick, too, actually, without even remembering that he played good against them in Orlando. So because their wings are bad. And with no Ross, they can't stop anybody.
I'm counting every Bojan game because I'm going to make you eat your words when he stinks at the end of the year.
He has been awful recently, and he's still in the top five shooting threes on this team.
Yeah, well, okay, calm down. On the team, you very caveated that big time. But
I did my best.
I just want to, by the end of the year, is prove that Stevenson has probably going to have a better year than Bojan. And I want to.
It'll be close in impact. We'll see.
It'll be close. We'll see. We'll see if they try Bojan, maybe. So.
I'm shocked that it's even been close after their starts. So.
Yeah. Bojan was so good for like, there's like a 15, 20 game stretch. He was just like, he was amazing. I mean, it was like, although, like, I thought, like, he had taken it to the next level, whatever.
All of November.
he was so good. I want him to, I just like every time I see him, I'm like, oh, just be that Bogan, but he can't be.
Yeah, I agree. Well, hopefully this is a good game for him to get back on track, being guarded by the likes of Mario Hezonja and I don't know. I don't even know who's going to be playing the wing without Ross and Aflalo. So
yeah, this, yeah, they're not good. It stinks. They're not good.
They are bad.
And what is some scores?
Scores, yes. I'll go first for the Suns. Let's go 117-95 Pacers.
All right. So what's 117-95 is a 22-point win?
Yes. Are we even keeping up with the differences?
No, I was just doing it in my head. So I'm going to say they're going to win 125-90.
Yeah, they're going to kill them, I think, too.
So I have 35 there.
Cool. Oh, wow. Okay, Cleveland, you're up first, and I'm interested because I don't know what I'm going to choose in this one.
I think they beat the Cavs, get the season series sweep. The Cavs have been struggling. I don't think they can turn it around, to be honest. Right now, at least, I think the Pacers bring their A game again because they love to play the Cavs tough. They beat them last time in Cleveland by 17. Will not be 17 again, but I think they'll win by, let's say, 4 points.
I'm going LeBron is pissed about being bad. Why do they keep playing the Cavs when they are on like tough streaks and are pissed? And
not true. The second time they played the Cavs won like 13 in a row. So they just the Cavs have been this team of huge ups and huge downs. They just catch them on one of the two every time.
They have every single time. It's crazy. I think the Cavs are gonna finally pull one out against the Pacers, but lower scoring like in that home game earlier in the month. I will go 95-91 Cavaliers.
All right, so you had four the other way. Yeah, I think any game that's under 100 points, the Pacers are going to lose it more time than not. I mean, they barely can win games if they don't score 100 points. I mean, it takes a lot for them to win those type of games.
Yeah, it's tough. We got Orlando Sunday, and my goodness, I mean, if they don't win by 20, I'll be disappointed. So I don't think the Magic are going to score 90. I'm going to go 107-85.
So that's 22. So you ended up the week for a plus 40. So I actually think the Magic will play them a little closer than you think. Just because they have both times. I don't know why they have. I remember both times the fourth quarter, it came down to like the Pacers actually having to play their starters in the fourth quarter. It seems like a team that just haven't been able to run off the court in the first three quarters. I think they win by like 10. So I end up with a plus 49 on the week.
The Magic have 3 days rest coming in that, but wow, yeah, we're both very high on the week, and rightfully so.
I mean, the Pacers will probably end up back in their homes Friday night because they'll fly from Cleveland back home after the game.
Yeah, or bus or whatever. Yeah.
No, you don't. They're NBA players. They don't bus to Cleveland. They're NBA players. They fly their private jet. Are you kidding me? This is not the 1970s. They don't bus to Cleveland.
They just showed videos of Steph Curry on a bus not too long ago, but whatever. I have no idea. I don't know. I didn't look it up.
Portland, mate. No, that's still a far trip.
It's still pretty far. I don't know. Anyway, who cares?
Maybe a bus from the hotel to the stadium might be what you saw.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what it was.
They bus from their hotel to the stadiums usually.
That's probably what it was.
I'm sorry. I wanted to go
on that one. They ride buses at some point.
Yes, but they don't ride buses to games.
This week is really straightforward for us. We'll have Suns preview tomorrow, probably 10, 12 minutes of something about the Suns. We'll try to say some nice things about the Suns. Thursday, we'll have a recap of that Suns game. Friday, we'll have a Cavs preview. Hopefully, there's some stuff to talk about, especially with other trade rumors. And then next week, we'll be back on our normal schedule. Two Sunday games in a row really throwing us off.
Yeah, we probably will not preview the Magic game because I don't think either of us wants to talk about the Magic for more than 2 minutes. Hence why.
I don't know. I don't have any friends who are Magic writers either.
Also, how this whole Orlando thing turned into like 2 minutes of Orlando talk, and then about 3 points shooting in the back because the Magic stink. I don't want to talk about the Magic. We've heard them twice already this year. I don't even want to keep talking about them. They stink.
I don't want to talk about the Magic either. So yeah. The easy rest of the week, and then we'll fire back up. We have a pretty cool guest next week, so hopefully that works out. And then, you know, as the trade deadline approaches, I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. Some cooler games coming up. So be on the lookout for some fun stuff after this morass of boring.
Yeah, we will do a trade podcast because I'm going to make Tony do one for the trade online because I want to just yell argument about some players. Before the show, we had a nice, probably 40-minute argument about Kemba. So, you know, eventually I'll make it on the podcast. But right now it's going to stay off the podcast until we hone our arguments down. Mainly Tony was just swatting me away most of the time.
I'll just let you talk and I'll just sit there.
Well, you're mainly just swatting me away. So I was just like, I got to hone in my argument because you kept throwing things and I kept trying to, and it just didn't work. So
got to throw a wrench in the gears, baby.
I've got what is it, the 22nd? So I've got 17 days, so 16 days, I'd say, to hone my argument down. So I'll figure it out.
So I have 10 days to write a good, shouldn't trade for Kemba piece, so I have some evidence to back me up.
Yeah. And I'm going to write a comment. I'm going to write a comment on that story that's going to be like 700 words.
Yeah. You want to promote any articles?
Let's see. I think I wrote one last week on the warning signs of the Pacers maybe hitting some fatigue. Ironically, the two games after I wrote that was the Trailblazers and Lakers game where they both looked fatigued, but I don't know. That's what I had that last week. And then this week, I'm writing something I'll probably post Wednesday or Thursday like usual. So we'll see what I figure out. I'm deciding between things, so I won't say
yet. You guys read my positional days stuff. We're doing a historical week this week. So today, Point Guard Mondays that you will have read yesterday is about Mark Jackson. And Tuesday's shooting guard, I don't remember who. I think it was Danny Granger. So, some cool ones this week, yeah.
Also, you'll have quotes probably from going to the practice. So,
yes, that's cool. What we look out for on Wednesday or Thursday's episode.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
I got nothing else. So, Adam is at FriedmanAdam5 on Twitter. I am at TEastNBA. I've been tweeting some fun graphs recently. We are at Locked On Pacers for the podcast. We're getting even closer. We're over 280 on the followers. Get us to 300, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and have a great Tuesday.